tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Central Pennsylvania Shrimp Tank, brought to you from our new studio temporarily here in Dillsburg, Pennsylvania, the vast metropolis of Dillsburg. I'm your host today, Nathan Imboden, and here at the Central PA Shrimp Tank, we like to push the message of entrepreneurship. This is a podcast by business owners for business owners, and really we like to tell the entire story of what entrepreneurship and small business ownership looks like. And for all of our episodes, you can go to our website at shrimptankpodcast.com/centralPA. Also, be sure to like our Facebook page and find us on your favorite podcast app. Click that subscribe button so you can keep up to date on all of the messaging we're putting out about our amazing businesses here in Central PA. And right now, we're continuing on in our series, In the Crosshairs of Corona. While we're still dealing with shutdowns and delayed openings and just challenges that that's putting on businesses. And we have a very, very cool and unique guest today. We have Betsy Ham, who is the COO of Duck Donuts, a small company you might may be familiar with them. If you haven't, for whatever reason, heard of them yet, you need to find one of their stores because their donuts are out of this world. But she's going to bring a really cool perspective because Duck Donuts is a locally owned and operated business and franchisor, but they have offices and stores all over the country and now globally. So a really unique perspective on not just what's happening here, but also around the rest of the country. So I'm going to stop talking so we can let the real expert and the real reason you're probably tuning in onto the show. So Betsy, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
It's awesome. Oh, and I did forget to mention, I'm really excited because Dillsburg on Friday, which depending on when this goes live, it's either tomorrow or today, because this is Thursday and we're recording, but you have a donut drop off at Greystone Brew House, which is really exciting. So yes, I have to get over and check them out. Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about what life looked like in, let's say, February and March, pretty much across the country. Let's end it before the shutdown happened. So what was life looking like for both maybe at the corporate level, but also franchisees around the country?
Sure. So Duck Donuts, we have 91 stores throughout 19 states. And when we started the year and even the end of 2019, we were very optimistic. This was going to be our year. And we're considered an emerging brand because we don't have 100 locations open yet. And we were going to have 100 locations open in early 2020, which just, you know, gives us, makes us more formable of a brand. So we were very optimistic. We had added some new positions on our corporate team at the end of 2019. We had started some new technology, some new partners. We had a new strategic plan. We had worked with a veteran in the industry who helped us put together this strategic plan for 2020. And everything was looking really good in February. And that plan was starting to be implemented and we were starting to move forward as a company. That was February.
Yeah, beautiful. And you know, that's great, really, right? Yeah, and that's what I've heard from pretty much everybody that we're interviewing. It was 2020 was off to, you know, we had such high hopes, or it was a record setting pace for the year. We were on track to have one of our best years ever. And then like a freight train,
yes.
The middle, was it the 16th, 18th? I even forget because I'm trying to wipe it from my memory.
Me too.
Hits and we get the order, shut down, close operations, which we talked a little bit before the show. You were still, I guess, all your locations were still considered essential or life-sustaining businesses and could choose to operate.
Yes.
However, you're faced with a dilemma because when people are being told to shelter at home and not go out, well, maybe I could stay open, but if nobody's coming into the store, what do I do? So talk us through that. When you get the, first of all, talk us through what the moments look like when you actually get the order that you have to shut down, because there's two levels. There's what you did at the corporate level and then at the franchise level.
Right. So, you know, just like everybody else, it was shock and it, you know, there was no playbook. There was nothing you could Google to figure out how do you handle a pandemic and what does this mean and how long is it going to last? So really our first response was, are we even allowed to be open? Are we essential? Just because we've never really talked through all of that from a crisis standpoint. So once we realized, yes, we're food, we're essential. Of course, donuts are essential. We are allowed to operate. First, it was, how do we make sure that our franchisees and their employees are safe? So all of our franchises are locally owned and operated. So it's really up to them to decide if they wanted to stay open or if they wanted to close. So we started implementing recommendations on how to make sure they were having a safe environment for their employees and then also for their customers. Okay. So that was really step one, was just making sure we were keeping a safe environment for the store employees as well as the customers.
Okay. So at the corporate level then, were you deemed a life-sustaining operation at the corporate level? So your stores would have been, because you're providing service, right? But I'm guessing because you are providing operational support to those life-sustaining businesses, you maybe were able to operate as well. But did you have to go through a waiver process if you were? What did that look like locally?
We just really implemented starting to work from home immediately. Okay. So we have about 25 corporate employees. Most of them are here in Mechanicsburg at our corporate office. So really that first week then it was, you know, okay, what are we going to do and how are we going to support it? And it was a blur when I think back to it, but you know, everybody was, you know, all hands on deck, just trying to figure out how to operate. So all of our team from the corporate perspective was just operating from home, and we still continue to operate from home today.
Okay. So I know you mentioned before you had the majority of your stores had decided to stay open, but some did decide to close and made that decision. And now they're, as different parts of the country are starting to get more comfortable reopening, they're starting to reopen. But what did, for the stores that stayed open, what kind of an impact did it have on their revenues in general? I mean, has there been kind of an across the board, while most stores saw X amount of a decrease or whatever, has it been all over the map?
Yeah, it's been interesting. So in the very beginning, I'd say we had about maybe 30% of stores who decided to close, or at least were closing during the week. And from a revenue perspective, that first week, we were down 65-70% in sales.
Wow. Yeah,
I think it was just that unknown. People were trying to figure out how they were going to start to operate in this new environment. And we actually would start to see the same business traffic pattern that we see now. So during the week, it was, you know, not as busy, and the weekends would start to pick up. And literally every week since week one, we've seen sales continue to increase. So that decrease has gotten much less. And part of that is some of the initiatives that we as a corporate team and our franchisees have put into place. But yeah, that first week was first week was a little scary in terms of how far down in revenue we were. But I think because of some of the initiatives that we put into place, and just as people have become more comfortable, we see that decrease become smaller.
Well, you know, fear of the unknown has a way of, I think, guiding a lot of people's decisions. And when, especially when everything that was around, if you had turned on the TV or opened a paper or whatever, or on social media, all you were seeing was how terrible this was going to be and whatnot. Yeah. Your first instinct is, all right, I'm going to hunker down and I got to, you know, treat this with respect. So it's natural to see that massive of a drop, I would guess, but it's also good that it's coming back. I would assume not where your pre-shutdown levels were, but just a steady increase at this point, or have some.
Yep, we have some stores who actually are doing better than they did same store last year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it comes back to that whole fight or flight mentality that, you know, I think our corporate team, we're a bunch of fighters and we were doing everything we can to survive or now to succeed. And the same with our franchisees. A lot of them went into this fight mode where what can we do to drive sales? And that's where a lot of these new initiatives came in, that have the ones who are spending the most time and effort doing that are seeing the best results. And some of them, like I said, beating last year's sales, same store sales, which is amazing.
Yeah. Awesome. So let's talk about the initiatives you guys put in place at the corporate level to kind of combat this, or I mean, not combat it, but have a good path forward, because there is a lot of that's unknown, but we can't just sit on our hands and just wait. We have to try to craft something, even though it may change over time. So talk through what you guys put together as initiatives for how you're going to get through this and maybe move forward as things start to open up again.
Sure, absolutely. So we already had online ordering implemented, and conveniently we had just launched an app as well as a loyalty program in February, so people can order their donuts through the app. online ordering. We already had third-party delivery partners. So all of those things were in place. They made up a small part of our business, but they were there. So that was one good thing. But then the second part of that was, okay, it's easy for people to order the donuts, but how do we get them to pick them up? What does that look like? So immediately we implemented curbside pickup. So those customers did not have to go into the stores. Depending on the location, some stores weren't letting customers in. They were just doing the orders, you know, online and in the curbside pickup. So the curbside pickup was the first thing that we implemented. And the second thing that has been huge is really just changing the points of distribution. So you mentioned the drop-off in Dillsburg, and that's just one example of how our franchisees have gotten very creative. And while people may not feel comfortable necessarily going out or going into restaurants, we started taking donuts to where people are. So doing the town drop-offs, even doing neighborhood drop-offs. So they would promote that we were going to be in a certain neighborhood. Customers would go online and order ahead of time, and then Duck Donuts stops in that neighborhood, drops off all the donuts. So the alternative points of distribution has been huge. And we even had some franchisees who were able to secure relationships with grocery stores, and they would stand outside the grocery store where we know everybody's still going and still prepackaged donuts. So that has been a huge game changer for us. And I think it's something that we'll be able to continue even after this is over. You know, why not take donuts to where people are? We don't always have to wait for them to come into the stores.
Yeah. By the way, Lowe's, Walmart, Home Depot, Wegmans, on an evening or Saturday afternoon would be a great place for that setup outside, because there's a line 1,000 people long waiting to get in the store. So, hey, they might as well have a tasty, tasty treat while they're waiting.
Exactly. Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah.
So those were the two of the things. And then the third thing is we did roll out a new product. So anybody who is stuck at home with kids knows that you were looking for something for them to do. So we started doing do-it-yourself decorating kits. So you get bare donuts, and then you also get, you know, some chocolate icing or maybe some vanilla icing, sprinkles, Oreos. You pick your toppings, and then kids get to decorate their own donuts. So that has been something that's been very popular for our stores across the country.
So if I may jump on that for a second, so the donuts are just ready to be, what do you throw it? Just throw them in the oven to warm them up, or microwave to warm them up?
No, you're good to go. I mean,
oh really?
Sometimes I think it's helpful to warm up the icing a little bit, but the donut
will be fine. Warm
up, but just usually sometimes with the icing, it's a little bit easier to put the icing on if it's a little bit warm.
Yeah.
But the donut's already baked, so you don't have to bake anything.
Oh my gosh.
You're just topping the donuts, which makes it simple and not too messy. It just depends on your kids, I guess.
So you're hitting on, that's a good point. Although I'd probably argue that some adults may be more messy than the kids too, but you're hitting on two, though, really key things. It's removing a barrier of just getting the product to somebody, but you're also removing a barrier of, just kind of boredom, right? You're providing an activity, and you're combining those two things. So you're making it easy, and you're giving families something fun and enjoyable to do. So
absolutely. Yeah, one of our key differentiators as a brand is usually when you come into the store, you get to watch your donuts being made. And that obviously isn't happening right now. So it's kind of like a role reversal where now you get to be the donut creator and create your own creations of donuts.
Yeah.
So that's been fun.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. So that was three, right?
That was three. And then our fourth thing was, you know, one of our core values is about community and giving back. We do that as a corporate team. We strongly encourage our franchisees to be involved in their community. So one of the things that started to happen really organically was franchisees were giving back to their community. So they were donating hundreds of donuts to hospitals, you know, frontline workers, police, grocery stores, you name it. They were donating donuts to all of these workers and their local community. So we started a Sprinkle Happiness campaign, and it really was twofold. One was the donations to the local hometown heroes or the frontline workers in each community. And then second, it was really just from a consumer perspective. You know, this has been a tough time for everyone, especially for kids. So just, you know, if donuts can put a smile on someone's face for part of the day, or, you know, dropping off donuts as a surprise to someone, that has been really key to us. So our marketing message really has been around sprinkling happiness. And that goes from the supporting your local community from the franchisee perspective to just having a moment of happiness in your day by enjoying some Duck Donuts.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, and I think this is just natural, the law of whether you call it, whether you're religious or karma or whatever you would say, but you do good, what goes around comes around. And so that's a great, great initiative you put together to help, especially in times of crisis when a lot of good needs to be done. It's difficult to sometimes see the forest through the trees, what they say, yes. But they, yeah, being able to step out of yourself and help others. On a different scale, my wife and I decided early on, if we can, we're going to do as much takeout as possible to help support the businesses that have attempted to stay open and at least have revenue coming through for them. I guess the challenging part will be, right, as we go back to normal, will I really want to get away from that? Because it's been actually kind of nice not having to worry about cooking too much.
But
yeah, that just anything people can do to help, even a little bit, we may not realize what that impact might have. But if enough of us say, yeah, I'm willing to spend $20 extra this week or $50 this month or whatever it is, if enough of us can do that, it can make a huge difference to these small businesses.
Absolutely. And, you know, marketing during a pandemic is very interesting. You know, you want to be sensitive, you want to be empathetic as a brand. So, you know, going out screaming marketing messages just isn't appropriate, you know, get donuts for free or whatever it is. So this has been a way where, you know, it's not just self-serving. We really are giving back to the community. And I do think that that will have a lasting impression on consumers, you know, 6 months or a year from now, that they'll remember that they saw Duck Donuts out in their community and giving back and being supportive.
Yeah. Fantastic. So do you have any sort of vision of what the future is going to look like? Because some of these things, a lot of businesses we're talking to are saying, well, even though COVID, because we don't know a lot about it yet, in theory, there's a possibility that this will never return. It'll go away and it'll never return. Maybe unlikely, I don't know. What's that?
I like that theory. That's a good
one. I do too. But there are a lot of things that have, I think, this has kind of expedited maybe some changes that were happening with related to either work-life balance or flex scheduling or sanitation or things like that, that are hopefully going to continue anyway. So what do you see, even if you can envision a COVID-less future, what do you see stores that they still have done to adapt, maybe that what they were doing before is now just different because you see there's a better opportunity or a better model here because of this?
Right. So, you know, I think that has been the silver lining of all of this is the lessons that we've learned and some of the new initiatives that maybe if we would have talked about, you know, a year ago or 2 years ago, it would have taken us a lot longer to get our act together to implement them. And, you know, we know everyone loves convenience. That's not anything that's new. But the way it is convenient may change. So I think really all of the initiatives that we launched during this will continue. So, you know, it goes back again to going to where the customers are and making it convenient. And yes, the in-store experience is important and that will always be an option. But how do we get more donuts out there? And like I mentioned earlier, we have one food truck. It's in North Carolina. And we've had other franchisees who have been kind of sort of interested. But now we've had, you know, several inquiries of, hey, I think I'm ready to do that food truck, you know, because it goes back into that different distribution model that may make sense no matter what happens in the future. So it has been interesting that these new things, those four new initiatives, they don't need to go away. They can continue. And I'm sure they'll evolve in things like the importance of our digital infrastructure and how people are ordering donuts and the whole user experience. That already was important, but now it's even more important. So I think, you know, those things will just continue to grow in importance and just will really push us to fine tune them.
Yeah. Fantastic. Just a random question. So those food trucks, or the one food truck, but any future one, they're not a separate franchise. That's kind of an add-on to, is that the idea that it'll be an add-on just more for distribution and a different method of delivering product,
exactly.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep, exactly. So they'll have a real store and then, you know, be able to add food trucks into that, maybe in lieu of another store.
Awesome. I mean, it's just been really cool to watch a business that has blossomed like it has. What, it started in 2007, or is it, that was around when the idea was created, but not locally. It started down in Duck, North Carolina, right?
Yes.
But to see how it's exploded, and I mean, it's really, really cool. And it's cool to be in Central PA to be able to witness that and be a part of it.
Yeah. So. And one of the crazy things for this year, hopefully everything will continue, but we are supposed to open in three new countries this year.
I saw that earlier. Yeah.
So Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Australia are all on the list. UAE, Dubai will be first, actually, hopefully in the next month or two. Cool. So things are still on track for Saudi Arabia and Australia to open. They might be a little bit delayed. But yeah, so we'll be having three new countries by the end of the year, which will be really exciting.
Were those three included in your 91 count earlier, or is that
stores that are open? Yeah,
so that'll be 94. So yeah, we'll get to 100.
We're getting to 100.
This isn't going to stop that 100 mark,
right?
Not at all.
We should have some stores actually that'll be opening here in the next few weeks, in South Carolina as well as Puerto Rico. And Florida. So hopefully in the next few weeks, they were delayed, but we're getting there. We're getting back on track of getting stores open and selling franchises.
Awesome. That's great. Great news. It's good to hear that and encouraging. And I said, and I remind a lot of people, we're in a very severely, like Pennsylvania and Michigan, you know, there are very few states that have, we've seen kind of the more drastic measure of shutdown and restrictions and whatnot. And if you don't have perspective of the other parts of the country, two of my partners are down in Tampa, Florida right now. They're sitting in restaurants. I think they literally are sitting in a restaurant right now. They were at a shopping mall yesterday. You know, life is somewhat getting back to where it had been before. Yeah, maybe a little bit different, but it's good to see that happening and remind ourselves that, okay, what's going on here isn't necessarily going on everywhere. You know, it might be frustrating and we're trying to fight for a cause of how do we allow businesses to open effectively and safely and whatnot. But it's really great to hear that you still have franchisees that are opening up and still wanting to move forward. So
yes,
that's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. So we gave you the preface ahead of time that I like to end, and you've already, I mean, wouldn't need to do this because you gave countless examples, just even in your organization, of the great things that have been happening here locally and across the country. But do you have any other examples of organizations that really have taken this time to shine these last couple months and turning this really, really horrible experience into a positive outcome for not just now, but probably in the future as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, I pay special attention to the food industry and what other restaurants and quick service restaurants are doing. So, you know, from a national perspective, looking at companies like a Panera who started selling groceries at their locations.
Oh, wow.
Or some other national chains have been doing family meals or family packs, you know, that you can order for a family, which I think have been great. And then even locally, I am so impressed by what the food industry is doing locally. So I think of St. Thomas Roasters in Linglestown. It's a little coffee shop. The stores or the restaurant's very small. So they started doing, they took their window and made it a pickup window. So instead of customers coming into the store, they were just having them come to the window and fulfilling orders that way. They also have been very much involved in the community, giving back and providing coffee beans to hospitals. So I think people like them, as well as been watching 717 Tacos, which is a food truck in Stonegate, who they partnered together already, but they're doing the same thing. They're coming to neighborhoods, and I can't tell you how excited I was when they came to my neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
but you know, just again, it's going to where the customers were. So, and they seem to be hitting the pavement every single day, getting to as many neighborhoods as they can, and that I'm sure has been survival for them. And who knows, maybe their sales are even better than what they were previous to this. And again, it goes back to, I don't think those types of things have to stop when this is over. People love the convenience. They love being able to walk outside and there's a food truck and there's some wine. I mean, that's perfect. So I have been very impressed with what our local restaurants have been able to do.
Awesome. Great examples. I know I've had many a message about 717 coming to the friends' neighborhoods and whatnot that we've tagged along to, which has been really cool. And I think you're absolutely right. I think what these things, so early on in a previous episode before all this, before the COVID stuff hit, I was reminded that I believe it's in Chinese, there's two symbols for the word crisis that the Chinese use side by side. One is danger, but then the other is opportunity. Mm-hmm. And what a lot of times this does is it clicks these opportunities for really expediting, in this case, future complementary business models that can help what our existing business model was, especially if it wasn't flawed, but it's going to help uncover other really cool opportunities to grow. And I said it early on, we got to figure out how to survive and then thrive. And fortunately, I mean, some sounds like some places have also been thriving at the same time. They've been doing that all at one. But yeah, just really cool to see. So thank you. Great example.
Yes, thank you. I love the optimism. I'm all in on being optimistic about
that. Some say that's me to a fault, but you know what? I'd rather that than the opposite. So
me too.
I'll take it. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being a part of this show today. And I will extend a formal offer to you and Russ when the dust settles and we're able to maybe get back to normal to have you guys come into our studio and we can learn maybe more of the full background of Duck Donuts. I got to hear him speak at a Rotary function last year sometime, okay. I think. And it was really, really neat story. But
yeah, we would love that. And we'll bring you donuts, of course. You know, when
yes.
In person, we bring donuts. It's a little hard. I should have, you know, planned better to have them delivered to your house.
You know, we should have tried this thing where you have a donut, you send it up towards your camera, and I go, I have one sitting up here, and I grab it. Yeah, that.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe next okay. time.
Next time, we'll do that.
Yeah. So for anybody who's maybe has no idea about Duck Donuts for whatever reason, or maybe they just want to, they haven't connected with any of your social media or whatever it is, what are some ways that individuals can get connected with Duck Donuts? And mostly, maybe here in Central PA would be a good starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. So check out duckdonuts.com, which is our website. And then we do have all social media covered. So Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Just search for Duck Donuts, and each of our local stores have their own page as well as our national pages as well. So definitely check us out.
Awesome. And I think from where we're sitting are the two most local, Mechanicsburg and Hershey?
Correct. Mechanicsburg, Hershey, and Lancaster.
Lancaster. Okay, perfect. All right. Well, everyone at home, you heard it there. So thank you again, Betsy. I really appreciate it. And you just provided some sunshine on this day. So thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Well, everybody, again, that was Betsy Hand, the COO of Duck Donuts, giving us just an unbelievable example about how organizations can adapt, really, I guess, take these challenges head on, not running away, and actually turning them into great opportunities. So if you haven't checked out a Duck Donuts store yet, do it. If you're not comfortable with that, those kits sound like a fantastic idea, especially even if you have kids, or if you don't, just lie, because it might be a fun activity just for you to do yourself. But take advantage of that. Again, we want to just continue to push this message of entrepreneurship. So stay tuned for future episodes here on In the Crossers of Corona. We'll see you on another episode at Central PA.
I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank. Want to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, Roadie 2016. Like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general, from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never. Going hard as ever, the results match the effort. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it take a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.